Welcome to Right Here in Mass. We're a weekly podcast that features individuals throughout the Bay State who are on our radar and should be on yours. From the Berkshires to Boston, Cape Cod and the Islands, tune in to learn about who you should know right here in Mass. Happy Thursday, Right Here in Mass listeners. Today on the show, we're welcoming Mae-Jeanne Lorth, a certified life and transition coach and the founder of Transitions Well Done, where she helps women transform the way they live, work, and play. She is passionate about helping women navigate through life transitions with ease and confidence, using a holistic and trauma-informed care approach. With 2 decades of experience in nonprofit and mental health counseling, Mae-Jeanne is equipped to guide individuals through various life challenges. Mae-Jeanne, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Ashley. It's so nice to be here with you.
My pleasure. I'm really looking forward to having you share more about yourself and your career and all of that fun stuff. But before we dive in, how about you tell our audience more about you and what you do?
Sure. So my name is Mae-Jeanne Lorth. I grew up here in Boston, originally from Haiti, but I grew up in East Boston and made my way to Cambridge. And now I reside in Somerville with my family. And as you mentioned, Ashley, I am a coach with a clinical background, worked in the mental health field as well as the nonprofit field for about 20 years now. And a few years ago, as I was reflecting on what I want to do next, I decided to combine all the years of experience that I have into what my coaching practice is now.
Love that. And you mentioned a few years ago, you're really thinking about what that next move for you would be. Did anything happen that might have been like, you know, might made you think, you know what, I think it's time for something new? Or were you just thinking about like kind of getting some type of itch to do something else or start an exciting project?
Well, you know, it started, I would say about 4 or 5 years ago when I was working in a nonprofit organization, had moved my way up. And there was something inside of me telling me that I wasn't really in an aligned position. So I decided that I wanted to look for something different where I could work more directly with folks. And I made that move. And then I decided a couple years ago that I was going to decide if I'm going to do more independent clinical work or if I was going to pursue coaching independently. And so after, I would say a year, and of course it was during COVID. I don't know about you, but I had a lot of time for reflection during COVID.
Yes.
a lot of long walks around my neighborhood, trying to think of, you know, what I was noticing, observing in our world and how I can make an impact in the world and how to combine the different skills and experiences that I've had to do something that will be a career that I'm proud of. And I had of, you know, all the things I've done before, I was thinking of like, what would be a dream career for me? And what really speaks to me is being able to work directly one-on-one with folks. And what I mean by that is really sitting down with people and understanding, seeing them and hearing them and helping them see what they have already inside and putting it out there. So we do that with a lot of time asking evoking questions and really listening to things that may not be said in the room, but it requires a lot of relationship building with someone to get to that point. And you do that with coaching or even with therapy as well.
Absolutely. And so with your specialty really focusing on helping women through transitions, as reflected by your business's name, what made you want to pursue that parallel? Was it something that you experienced in your own life or perhaps through the work that you were doing with the nonprofit you were working for?
Yeah, I think it's several factors. We all are experiencing change. And because we're experiencing change, we live in a fast-paced world, constantly changing. Mm-hmm. Which then means that we're often in transition, right? And so one of the things I was thinking about is the different populations that I've worked with in the past, and each group have been in the midst of a transition as I was working with them. And so combining that and my love for working with women, particularly women of color, that's how I came up with Transitions Well Done. Oftentimes there's friction when we're going through through change. And it's not the change itself, the external part we fear, it's the internal piece. A lot of the uncertainties that we're drowning in as the change is happening around us, that I think a lot of times having the support is helpful to help you feel grounded, but also help you gain clarity and insights into what the next steps are for you.
Right. Because I know from myself with changes that I've gone through, sometimes when I don't know what to do, it's like I almost just have an impulse reaction because it's like, I just need to do something. So it sounds like through the work that you do with your clients, you really help them to sit, reflect, and think about the next best foot to put forward based on what they're looking to do and what they're going through at this time.
Yeah, I think it's important to have the space. And, you know, we can have that with friends, we can have that with mentors, but I do think there's something special about being with someone where they're really there to listen to you and guide you and help you facilitate what's happening within. And I think a lot of times we don't, we feel the chaos and not sure where it's when and where it's going to clear. And yeah. So having the consistent person to help you gain that clarity and also help you gain that momentum, right? A lot of times is, you know, how do I prioritize who I am, where I am currently now, and where I'm going to be with everything that I have to deal with as women, women in business, women in leadership positions? We have competing demands as well as our home lives, right? There's so many things happening, and it can often feel like, wait a second, what about me? What about my priorities? And how do I put that in the equation?
Absolutely. And you mentioned something, which I think is a great point about having someone different from your friends or mentors to go to, because I think with friends and mentors, there's almost like a bias where it's because they know you so well that they might say something that you think you'd want to hear, or maybe not help you have a really holistic perspective on a situation. And so I think working with someone like yourself, who's kind of like new to meeting this person and doesn't have all of that background information on the person, I think can be huge for making a really big impact.
Right. I think a lot of times when we're talking to our friends, venting to family and friends, oftentimes they may be in the same situation that you're in, or may not know of the resources or ways of helping you, you know, get out of the chaos, which is fine. To even have that support is great, because there might be some people who don't have that. So right. I don't want to minimize it. But I think there's something special having a coach, because they're not here to tell you, oh, I've been there too. You
right.
know, maybe even a mentor might say, okay, here's how I got to where I am. Here's how, you know, I'm going to lay out the path for you, right? And again, that's yet another great resource to have. The coach is there to actually help you see the strengths that you have, right? And it's to also recognize the blind spots that you don't have. It's to bring forth awareness, it's to leverage your strengths, and it's also to recognize the blind spots. And once that is laid out, what's the action plan? And also, what's the accountability, which often gets lost when we're talking to our friends and family about what we're experiencing. And so that's why the coaching is very helpful. And it's really about the future, the present. We start first with the present and then the future, and not necessarily about the past, which I think is a bit, it's the big difference between coaching and therapy. It's not treating or diagnosing a mental health diagnosis, but it's really about what specifically is going on for you right now. And how do you take steps to get to where you want to be? But also, as someone with a clinical background, if there are some things that are coming up in terms of depression or anxiety, my role wouldn't be to treat that. My role is to recognize it and help you recognize it, bring it to your attention, and see if there are resources for you to address that separately with you know, a clinician.
Right. And as you mentioned with those blind spots, I mean, as business owners and women, we can kind of be tunnel visioned a lot of the time. We see what's right ahead of us, but don't see what's going on around us. So exactly like you mentioned, being able to have someone who can point out things that are outside of your peripheral vision and being able to bring everything together and identify things that you might not have even known yourself.
Yeah, it's amazing what can come about, right? Even with, you know, with one session, right? And I think it's really taking the time to, for someone to see you and hear you. Oftentimes it's what we hear is like, I don't feel seen, I don't feel heard, because we are all like in the rabbit hole of it all, right?
Yes.
And so when you are working with a coach, it's to create that space for you so that your whole self can be in that space. And that's what I mean by holistic, right? It's not about just, you know, your professional goals, right? It's also what's happening in your personal life that may impact your professional goals. You know, what patterns, behaviors, and thoughts that maybe roadblocks, obstacles to where you want to go next in your future. It's also about recognizing the resilience that you have within. And I focus a lot on resilience in my work because I think as women of color, I'm a Black woman, as you know, the population that I work with now, women of color, we are often told we're resilient, right? But then it's like, how do I tap into that resiliency to make it personal to where I want to be, to my growth, to my personal and professional growth, rather than, I think sometimes it can be like you're resilient because you have to go through those hard things. Mm-hmm. But do I have to go through those struggles to be resilient? I think we all have resiliency in us. It's a muscle that we have to build.
Absolutely. And I love that you brought up the fact that things that are happening in our personal lives do affect our professional lives, because for so long, there's been a narrative of you need to keep your personal life and your professional life totally separate. And that's not easy to do. I mean, if you're going through difficulties and challenges at home, it's not like you can just shut off those feelings once you step into your home office or commute to work. And so I think it's really great that you point that out and just kind of help to normalize that it's okay if some things seem over, because it's just not expected or shouldn't be expected of people to just kind of have one persona and another persona based on whether they're at work or home.
Yeah. And you know, you hear workplace saying bring your whole self or be authentic. But then when something is happening in your personal life, it's like, oh, hold that at the door.
Yes.
You know, don't bring it in. So then you're like, wait, what do you mean? You don't need to be authentic. So it's really sometimes mixed messages that you hear, but, you know, I think part of it is how do we give people the support and the resources that they need to manage what's happening in their personal lives so that they can be present and focused in their professional setting. And it's not like keep it at bay, but more like, okay, this is happening for you. How can we be of support? Because you're a valuable, you know, member of our, you know, community, and you contribute to the workplace. And also it's just for humanity, really. We right. all want to have, I guess, a world where we can have access to a good mental health, good resources to help us maintain our well-being.
Absolutely. And I can imagine that the same is true with not letting things from your professional life then really affect your personal life. Because I feel like that's what I struggle with more, is not necessarily having personal things cross over into professional, but professional cross over into personal, and not letting work stuff affect me outside of work hours, which is a challenge, especially for women. Women have a big mental load. And so it can really contribute to how they kind of handle themselves in different situations.
Yeah, it goes both ways, right?
Yeah.
It's a tight line to walk, right? Having to always, I think, carry the burden of like, okay, am yes. I like balancing this right? And we talk about it often, the work-life balance. And what does that mean? For each of us, it's going to look differently. And I
Absolutely.
Think, you know, something I can definitely resonate with what you're saying as a business owner, and also working a full-time job. It's really hard to find the time where you have a space where you really can decompress.
Yes. Right?
Not always thinking about the business or your work responsibilities or, you know, family responsibilities, because we have that too. We have that to manage. And so it's just, it can be very hard.
It can be hard.
It can be extremely hard to manage. And, you know, I think of us being in the Northeast, having a lot of resources, being in a very educated state, progressive state, there are resources available, although there could always be more resources for us. And I imagine there are places in the states where they don't have access to the same resources that we have here. And how do we reach those people? So it's not like, let's just think about ourselves. How do we think in community?
Yeah, so important to think about. And so with that, with the different situations that we've kind of chatted through and things that women are going through, could you share some examples of types of transitions that you've helped your clients go through in terms of what they were facing and what you did to support them? Because I know that every woman listening to this episode has definitely resonated with at least one of these before.
Yeah, so it varies. And I know that when we think about transitions, I think we often are thinking about the changes that are happening outside. So there is a difference between the two. And so no matter the change that you're going through, if you're facing a change, you can choose to go with the change, go with the external change, but not choose to focus on the transition piece. The transition piece is what's happening for you internally, right? Mm-hmm. It's the process that you go through. First, you have to let go of, there are some things that you have to let go of, either an idea or a thought or a pattern of behavior you have to let go in. And then you go through the middle, right? Which oftentimes we call the messy middle, where you don't know what's happening. That's where the uncertainty lives. That's where the fear lives. And so you're wondering where your next step is. You're in between what you're letting go and what's next for you. And then getting to the piece where maybe you're, it's like spring, you're blooming, right? You're in the next step. You finally went through that messy middle and finally get to the next step of what's next for you. And it's constant, right? Each time we go through a change, if we decide to transition, you're going to go through that pattern for sure. It definitely has its own rhythm. And so having said that, that's why I keep it broad, because there are women dealing with so many things. For example, someone who just got promoted in your workplace. Let's say that's something you've been looking for a really long time. You've been putting in the years, the hours, you're successful in the position you were in before, which made you get to the promotion now. But then you're having these feelings that are coming up for you, and you're not sure why you're having these feelings, because you were so excited to get the promotion. You've been looking forward to it. And part of it is, what identity did I hold before that I now have to process and reflect on letting go of before I can fully step into this role that I'm in right now? And you're in the new role, you're figuring it out. It means new team members, new systems, new management, all these different things are happening. And we're having strong feelings about them, and we're not sure what's happening. And so, and maybe questioning, was it really what I was looking for? It's not looking like what I thought it would. Am I still the best fit for this position? So all these emotions that are happening is you figuring out the middle piece that you in. And then with what coaching can help with is gain clarity of, like, what is it that you need to let go of? What's happening for you in the middle? And what are the next step for you to fully step into the next chapter?
Oh, I love that. And it sounds like, too, from what you've shared and given examples of, is that not every change is bad. I mean, these are good changes,
Exactly.
like getting a promotion, but it's just going into the unknown, and that can be really overwhelming just when you're so used to doing something for so long and all of a sudden it changes. I mean, it can be a shock, understandably. But it kind of reminds me of a quote I have here in my office for anyone who's listening and not watching the YouTube video. I have a quote that I love, which is "Get comfortable with the uncomfortable." And it really reminds me of what you do. I mean, going through a change and a transition is uncomfortable, but with the right resources and support and expertise with someone like yourself, it's absolutely possible.
Right. And that's one of the reasons why I picked the example of a promotion, because oftentimes we associate transitions with the negative, right?
Yes.
Divorce, right? A loss, grieving a family member, things like that. Yes, those are very, very much necessary things that we can also work on together. But there are some positive things that may happen too, that you still have to go through that transition process. And I try to explain the word embrace change before I just say it, because
Yeah.
before you get to embracing change, you have to manage and be aware of the thoughts and feelings that are coming up for you, and understand why they're coming up for you before you get to embracing change. I don't think it's something that happens overnight. I think it's something that takes time to get to.
Yes, it's almost like the idea of, I feel like, kind of getting to the core root of the problem. I don't want to say problem necessarily, but getting to the core root of why you're feeling what you're feeling. And I mean, the promotion example you shared, it made me think of imposter syndrome. People might be having those thoughts and hesitancies because of imposter syndrome, which is something many women face and everything like that. And so just other external factors can really be affecting how you're feeling and what you're going through in these different transitions.
Yeah, and those, they all go together. Imposter syndrome, confidence, self-esteem, because if it's really you in that process, you have to experience it as with your full identities. All your
Yeah.
identities come into play. The way I experience a change, the way I go through a transition, is very different from someone who's at a different time or different developmental stage than I am, right? The way I experienced it when I was younger is very different now, and the way I will later on in life. Those are all the things we have to consider, or we remind ourselves to consider when we're going through it. We often feel in a rush to go through
Yeah.
it, right? Because
Yes.
it can be so uncomfortable to sit in that neutral zone, in that messy middle, because we're having to sit with that feeling, not sure what to do with it. And so we want to rush through it. Why is this not feeling why am I not where I'm supposed to be? Or why am I having this reaction? So there are many triggers, that can bring on a transition for you. And that's why I think either if you're relocating, a promotion, a new parent, getting married, remarried, all of these things are events in your life. Or if you want to put it in terms of triggers in your life, that can bring about a lot of internal processing. And that's what transition is. It's the internal process of what you're experiencing.
Absolutely. And when people are going through a transition, one of the things that you mentioned is before they can embrace change, they have to really sit and think about why they're feeling what they're feeling or why they are inclined to do a certain thing before they can focus on that change. But that's one tip that you had for people when they're going through a transition. What other tips would you give for someone who's going through a new journey in life and it just has no idea what to do with the first foot, moving that first foot forward?
Yeah, I think the first part is to think about what is it that you need to let go of. Because letting go of certain things is what's hard for us. It's hard for us to let go of certain identities, certain dreams that we had, certain patterns and behaviors before we can move to the next step, the next phase of the transition. And I say this because when we're thinking about a change, it's often we want to get to the third phase of it, which is the new beginning, right? And before you can get to that, it has to start with letting go of something. And that's often really hard for us to consider. And I, being in tune with yourself can really help with that. Having some time to, and not many people are into journaling, but that's one thing I would say is, yeah, is journaling. And if it's not journaling, maybe it's just thinking it by yourself, you know, even with a friend, that might be it if you don't have access to a coach. But I think the idea of here's where I want to go next, I have to let go of something first before I get to that, is hard. It's a concept that is really hard for us. And we might start to take steps, right? We're in the middle of it and we are still holding on to certain things. That's making it really hard for us to fully be present in what's the next part for us. And until we let go, again, as I said, letting go of an identity, of a dream, of a behavior, of a pattern, a thought, a mindset, then it's you're gonna feel the tension within you.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's such a great point you bring up of just letting go of the old part as so you can move into the new part, which it kind of reminds me of the mentality that people have, which I know I have with this, but it's, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And so I imagine that mentality can sometimes be a struggle for people because they're like, well, where I am right now is great and everything's working well. And why do I need to transition into this other phase in my life, even if the transition can be much better? But yeah, it's like just that whole idea of letting go of something that you know is good, even if it means that letting go can lead you to something a lot better in the long run.
Right. Or even the idea of like, well, why do I have to let go of anything? Well, all I've had is what brought me here. Right.
Yes. Yes. Right.
But then when you're in whatever it is, you're starting to feel some tension, some internal conflict. You know, let's say you've been wanting to retire, right? Forever. Right. And the time is finally here and you're retired, but still it's like, wait a second, there are parts of me that I'm struggling with about this thing that I've been wanting for so long. So then it's really the time to think about, okay, what is it about, not even your past life, but what is it that about me, about the idea that I had that I'm going to have to let go of to fully be able to be in this retirement age that I've been looking forward to. And that process can take a really long time. And again, like I said before, and that's really hard for us as a society to sit through that, which can feel like isolation. I think that's middle where you're figuring it out of what's happening for you could feel really isolating. And I think that's really another difficult part about transitions.
Absolutely. And I can imagine, especially for the people like myself who are very routined, like I have my routines each day, I'm very type A. And so if something comes in and throws everything off, that is difficult to now be like, okay, well, I've known what I'm going to do and what the plan is for all this time ahead. But now that something's changed, like now my whole plan is messed up and it can be hard to pick up the pieces and move forward. But you've shared a lot of great advice here about what people can do if they're just starting out in that transition journey and the resources and tools that they can use to be their best selves in that aspect.
Yeah. And I think that there are many, many ways to think about it. And that one thing I would say is to give yourself grace as you figure it out. Because again, when you are thinking about it differently, it can even bring up more things, right? When you want to slow down, pause through it and reflect, it can bring up more uncomfortable emotions and feelings that you may not be used to. So giving yourself grace as you manage it. And I think that's one of the things that I help clients with is how do you shift your thinking from what's happening externally to what's happening internally, right? And it's what is one thing you can do differently, one thing you can think differently, and one thing you can feel differently about this this chapter of your life.
Yeah. Great ideas. And with that, speaking of transitions and chapter of your life, you do have a teenage daughter and I know that being a teenage girl myself just 10 years ago, that teenage girls go through lots of transitions. And so I can imagine that your background and your expertise has likely given a lot of value during this time. Have you found that to be the case?
I have in many ways.
Yeah.
Funny story, this morning she texted me, I'm going to get my belly button pierced today.
Oh my gosh.
Now, to her credit, she told me about it a few weeks ago. I just didn't know it was going to happen today. I'm grateful that she's telling me because we all know that some of these things happen. The parents have no idea that it's happening until there's an infection or something, right?
Yes.
And she asked me to be there. She's like, is 4 o'clock or 7 p.m. better for you?
Oh my goodness, that's so funny.
So I think what I have to remind myself, this is where I have to let go of control. You know, when she was younger, I had more control of her environment or her activities, what she does. And now she has to make decisions by herself. My job as a parent now has shifted to, let me give you the information.
Yeah.
And then you have to make the decision yourself. And so it's, I would say I take it day by day, right? There are some days where I can rely on the knowledge and expertise that I have about transitions and how to do that well. And then there are days that I'm a parent, full on parent. And it's hard. And so today was a good day where I was like, all right, she's made that decision for herself. We've already talked about what the risks are. So I'm glad that she asked me to be in the room. So that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And I can imagine that there's probably been many other instances as well. And I think it's great to have that combination of a transition coach, an expert, and also a parent, and be able to tie those two pieces together.
Yeah, there have definitely been many more instances where I've had to think about, that's the other thing about transitions, right? You may not be going through it yourself, or there might not have been a trigger for you, but someone in your family, someone in your community is going through it. Your community, for example, the global pandemic we all experienced together. Yeah. It was a global change that we all had to transition through. And so sometimes it may not be directly us who had the external change that caused a transition, but someone in our close vicinity, and then we then have to manage it as well and go through our own process with it as well.
Absolutely.
So I'm tying that to my daughter growing up being a teenager. She is definitely going through it. She's definitely going through a transition right now, and I'm having to experience that with her.
Yeah, absolutely. And so shifting gears a little bit to talk more about what you do within your private coaching practice. As you mentioned earlier, you also have a full-time job. And so I've interviewed a few people on the show who are just like you, balancing a full-time career and also a business they feel really passionate about. And I love speaking with people like that because I think it's so interesting to hear about their experience and how they manage everything and things like that. And so I'd love if you could share with our listeners who may also be in this situation, how you juggle it all.
Yeah, it is a skill that I've to learn. And, you know, I've had experience before where I've worked multiple jobs at a time to, you know, make ends meet as a, at some point I was a single parent. So I've had to deal with that. But now having birth business, it's a different ball game in itself, right? I've been saying that being a business owner is learning a new language because it has its own language that I'm having to learn them over the past year. And I'm extremely blessed and lucky to have my full-time job be a job where I'm also coaching. I coach population, but it's one of the reasons why I fell in love with coaching. Being able to coach college students is what I do in my full-time job. So, and I love the organization that I work with. And so that helps a lot, right? Because I think a lot of times that some people can't wait to get out of the situation, the full-time job that they're in, whereas I truly enjoy the work that I do. And so I feel very blessed and lucky to be able to be in that situation. But juggling it means really prioritizing things as they come. I have my full-time job responsibilities during the day, and I do the business when I can, which sometimes pulls me away from my family, or, you know, on the weekends and the evenings when I have downtime. So it's quite a bit of a juggling game, as I'm sure you know, and others who are listening can relate to it. And it's really, like I said earlier about parenting, it's really taking it one day at a time. What's been really helpful is managing my expectations, right? I remember when I launched my business last fall, and just thinking that, you know, it was going to be perfect. my first day of launching, and I've learned that that's not the case, and I have to manage my expectations and really paying attention to myself and being in tune to my energy level. So there are a lot of exciting things that are happening for my business, and potentially other things happening for my business as well. But I have to check in with myself often to say, like, is this really gonna be energy efficient, really?
Yeah.
Because I want to build a sustainable business. And so I have to think about the long-term goal, not the short-term wins. So that's how I've been able to manage along the way.
That's such a great point about managing expectations, because I know for me personally, and I'm sure many business owners can relate to this, but setting very high standards for yourself, especially for someone who's type A or someone who has lofty goals, it's easy to kind of fall into the trap of holding yourself to a very high standard and then feeling really discouraged when you don't meet those standards, even if you did do every single thing you could and put in so much hard work and energy, but there's just other things happening that are out of your control that are preventing you from doing that. And I think that's such a great piece of advice for people to remember, is to just have those expectations in check and know that things may change as time goes on.
Yeah, for sure. Leave room for the unknown.
Yes.
They leave room for the unknown. It's great to plan ahead, to be a planner. And it's great to think strategically and also leave room for the unknown. It's something that I have been telling myself and has been really leading me and making my business decisions.
Absolutely. Meijin, as we get towards the end of this episode, one of my favorite things to ask our guests is what their favorite local businesses are to support. And I'd love to hear what you would recommend to our listeners.
So as we're talking about managing expectations and juggling many things, I want to shout out to Moda. Moda is a yoga studio in Union Square, Somerville. And that is where I go to really take some time to stretch out my body, time to reflect. And they have so many different programmings there as well. They also have a book club. So,
oh, nice.
Yeah. If anyone in Somerville is listening, it's, I don't know, people are familiar with Block 11 Cafe in Union Square. It's Moda is above Block 11 Cafe. It's a beautiful studio space, and I love it there. It's a Black owned, and it's really a place that they value inclusivity. And so I really enjoy spending time there.
Awesome. Meijin, this has been such a really great episode, and I've loved having you share all of your expertise when it comes to going through transition and really being armed with the best possible tools for people to move forward with confidence. And so now I'd love if you could share where our listeners can find you online in case you'd like to connect with you further.
Yeah, thank you so much, Ashley. You and I have been in communication for a really long time, so I'm glad that we were able to have this time to chat. And thank you for inviting me on and having me on. And for those listening, if you want to learn more about what I do, you can check out my website, transitionswelldone.com, or on LinkedIn, Mayjean Lorth, and also on Instagram at transitionswelldone. Thank you all for listening, and I hope to connect with you some way on the digital world.
Yes, absolutely. And I will put those links in our show notes that way our listeners can click through and connect with you from there. But thank you so much again for being on today's show.
Thank you, Ashley.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Right Here in Mass. We hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as we enjoyed recording it. Be sure to subscribe, leave a review, follow us on social media, and share our podcast with your network. See you next week.